Krishna Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. It is interesting that Prahlad Maharaj was offered a benediction by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Understanding. He had been tested. He had been tested in so many situations that would obviously distract the minds of anyone else. It's not so easy to be very Krishna conscious in great danger, like in a pit of snakes. If any of us would be in a pit of snakes, would we be able to do what Prahlad did, to remain internally unaffected? I doubt it. I remember that once I chanted 16 rounds in 1 hour. That was very fast. It was on a tiny little plane, which was known as the Cigar, and it was bad weather, and the plane was rocking like anything, and I was just in total fear, chanting 16 rounds in 1 hour. I never managed to do it again, but I did. So maybe we would chant in the pit with snakes, but would we be unaffected like Prahlad? Totally not distracted by it, not considering that, but what if they will bite me? Nothing like that, no. Let them, whatever. They are ultimately the instrument of the Supreme Lord. Prahlad was seeing like that. Therefore, he had no preference. Living or dying to Prahlad was not the issue. He was not praying to the Supreme Lord, protect me so that I may live. No. Living or dying is entirely up to the Lord as he desires. So in this way, it was very extraordinary what Prahlad displayed. And therefore, Prahlad had very deep intelligence. And therefore, because Prahlad had zero attachment to any material advantage, so immediately, even when it was offered by the Supreme Lord, he said, no, this is material. No, no, there must be something else. No, no, this I don't want. This I don't want. So it's interesting that the Supreme Lord is testing his devotees to see actually how much they are ready to... how much they have no other desire than to have devotional service to him alone. That message, of course, is the message of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and is the central message of this movement. In the Nectar of Devotion, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, the verse Anyabhilasita Sunyam Jnana Karmadhyam Navritam is known as the Paribhasa Sutra, or the central verse of the entire book, which lights up the whole text. So it is that one verse, that one must be free from any other desire, no interest in karma to enjoy the material world, no interest in jnana, no interest in trying to get out of the material world, simply desiring the service of the Lord and nothing else. That spirit is what we are reminded of again and again. And that's so difficult. Because we are very selective. This service, yes. That service, no. Right? This temple, okay. That temple, not so okay. That one, nice. This devotee, nice. That devotee, not nice. This prasadam, tasty. That prasadam, that's okay. Like this. So even in the midst of all these transcendental things, we are selective, saying, no, give me this transcendental thing, not that one. I'll take the sweet rice, I won't take the regular rice. No, thanks. I was invited in South India for a special function to take prasadam, so I went, and they served 9 types of rice. That was it. Nothing else, just 9 types of rice. So for my mind, it was just inconceivable because I never eat rice. And more the roti type, and then 9 types of rice. And you're like, is there any sabji maybe? No. No, only rice. My God, 9 types. So we are selective. Not this, not that. We cannot... but Prahlad was different. For Prahlad, everything was prasad. Once I did a seminar on the topic of mercy, and then there are different words in Sanskrit for mercy. The word daya is generally referring to a mercy that is widely available to all. It's sort of generally distributed. Then the word kripa, sometimes also used for the general mercy, the word kripa is also particularly used for a reciprocation. We pray to the Lord, oh, please reciprocate with my service, kripa. Give me kripa, give me mercy. Or another word that was found is anukampan, also mercy. So various words are found in the Bhagavatam for mercy. But in the 10th canto, when it comes to the eternally liberated associates of the Lord, the word for mercy has changed into prasad. Right? There it's all prasad. Everything is just prasad. That is the word for mercy that one finds in the 10th canto. The residents of Vrindavan see everything as prasad. Mercy of the Lord. It comes from the Lord. So that mood to truly think of Krishna in control and Krishna behind anything is a mood to cultivate. Srila Prabhupada would say, yes, my Guru Maharaj, he would always say, Krishna willing, right? Krishna willing. I'll see you in such and such place at such and such time, Krishna willing, Krishna willing. He would never say, yes, we'll meet next month. No, Krishna willing. He was always adding the Krishna willing. Just to remember. Just to remember that in every situation, it's Krishna who is willing, and Krishna who is the ultimate controller. Maya jakshena prakite suyate sachara charam hetunanena kuntya jagat viparivartate. Krishna is the hetu, the cause of everything. Krishna is the ajax, he is the controller even of this maya, of this material energy. He's behind everything in this universe. Still, when something happens to us, like just happened to me, the pinched nerve and walking with a stick, I was straight like everyone else. Right? I used to jump. I used to dance. Right? Maybe too many a dance, but whatever may be, now it's a little different. So what is it? Is it karma or is it Krishna? What's happening here? Yeah, one might say, well, a devotee still gets the diminished reactions for his activities. The fan may be switched off, but it is still spinning. So maybe it's a diminished reaction. Okay, so I should just think it's my karma. But then Srila Prabhupada told Giriraj Maharaj in Bombay, he told him that, yes, that karma is diminished in the case of the devotees, but that's not all. He says, what is also there is that Krishna is supervising it. Krishna is upadrasta and anumanta. Krishna is the overseer. He oversees everything as upadrasta. He oversees, and he is anumanta. He gives permissions. Anumiti. Anumiti means permissions. So Krishna gives permissions. So Krishna says, all right, yes, this diminished reaction, yes, 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 yes. That one, no. And that one, no. So he just cuts off the bill, or he might even add something on the bill that wasn't even there in the first place. So is it karma or Krishna? Who knows? Ultimately, it's Krishna. Ultimately, Krishna is upadrasta and anumanta. He's the overseer and the one who permits. And that is what we see, because ultimately we see Krishna, and we want to thoroughly see Krishna. It is said, Smartavyam satatam visno vismartavyo najatisit savavidi nisedushur etior eva kinkaram. The purpose of all the rules and regulations of the scriptures is to always remember Krishna and never forget him. Fine. So how to do that? Just sort of fix the mind? Krishna, 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 Krishna. No, that is one way. Savayamana Krishna Padara Vindayo. One should fix the mind on the lotus feet of Krishna. But that's not the all in all. What Bhagavatam also does, it systematically shows us how everything is connected to Krishna. Like when in Srimad Bhagavatam, we are discussing the entire creation and we're discussing the entire universe and so on, then we see that everything is related to Krishna. Everything is controlled by various deities in the universe. I was reading Lord Brahma stealing the calves and cowherd boys and Krishna taking the place of these calves and cowherd boys. And Lord Brahma is on a different time scale than the human time scale. And one moment of his time is a whole year on earth. So Lord Brahma just stole the calves and cowherd boys just for a few moments, not very long. But it lasted an entire year on earth. And during that year, Krishna took the place of the calves and of the cowherd boys. And the parents were in ecstasy. Normally, they used to love their children. But now, they never loved their children that much as they did now. Because Krishna had now become their son. Anyway, then Brahma returned and saw that the cowherd boys and calves were still there. And he'd taken them away. He went back to the cave, but they were also in the cave. Then Brahma was totally bewildered. And the Supreme Lord took, suddenly, all the calves and cowherd boys turned into Vishnumurtis. And then the Lord Brahma could understand. It is actually the Supreme Lord who took the form of all these boys and calves. That's what happened. And he became overwhelmed. And after that, well, he realized that he had made a huge mistake. That he had, been playing games with the Supreme Lord, and he's thinking, I might get some reactions for it. And he offered nice prayers, and he said, isn't it that in the beginning of the universe, when the universe is all empty, that there is a lotus flower appearing from your navel, and isn't it that I appear on that lotus flower? So isn't it that therefore you are both my father and mother? And isn't it that parents never take offense of whatever their children do? Even if they pass stool on their lap, they still love their children. So this, one could call it prayer or one could call it politics. Whatever it was, Brahma was trying to manipulate Krishna to become favorable. And then he offered all these nice prayers about the endless glories of Krishna, and even if the scientists can count all the snowflakes in the sky, or even if the entire earth would be smashed to powder and one would be able to count all the molecules, even then, still, if one could do that, one could still never count all the unlimited qualities of the Supreme Lord. So in this way, Brahma was now fully glorifying the Supreme Lord and pointing out that Krishna was that Supreme Lord. Then Brahma started saying that these residents of Vrindavan, they are the most fortunate. They are the most fortunate. And I am praying that you grant me this, that I may take a birth where I get the dust of these residents of Vrindavan on my head, like a blade of grass or something like this. And Krishna heard all these prayers. And Srila Prabhupada explains in the purport, he says that Krishna was not interested in these prayers. Although they're very nice prayers, they really are very nice prayers, Krishna couldn't care less about them. He's not interested. So he was not responding. So then after a while, Brahma said, well, all right, I get the point. There is no point in praying any further. You are not willing to grant me this. So what to do? What to do? Then I'll just have to return to my miserable abode, Brahmaloka. So if Brahmaloka is a miserable abode, you know, then where are we now? But Bhagavad Gita confirms that, though. Abrahma Bhuvana Loka. It says, from the highest planets to the lowest, all are places of misery. And anyway, so I'll go back to that miserable place and I'll just continue to perform austerity, hoping that one day I will qualify. He said, and meanwhile, he's saying the principal deities within the universe, they are blessed that they can enjoy through the senses of others because they are the controllers of these senses. So as the controller of the senses, I can appreciate a little bit because I can, through the senses of the residents of Vrindavan, get a little taste of your Vrindavan pastimes. And in this way, Lord Brahma left. So within the universe, there are so many arrangements like that that we have no idea of. Who ever realized that these principal demigods are enjoying through our senses? We thought we were the only ones. Sense gratification. It's mine. It's what I do. It's what I experience. But then, right behind, just see, the demigods are sharing in the experience. Interesting. So many arrangements. The Lord expands himself. Aniruddha controls the mind. Pradyumna controls the intelligence. So in so many ways, we can see that Krishna is involved with all the affairs that are going on here within the universe. We are never alone. Krishna is with us in so many ways, every moment. Super soul within the heart. His expansions control all the functions and so on. In this way, yes, we are never alone, never ever alone. Thinking about that, that brings to mind the concluding words of the Chaitanya Charitamrita, which are very nice, where Srila Prabhupada is describing that he has completed now Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, which he translated on the order of his spiritual master. And then he says, like before his departure from this world, my spiritual master requested me to translate these books. And then Prabhupada says, yes. He said, yes. He says, and my spiritual master, he is always with me. He's always with me. Always. He said, just like Krishna is always with us, Krishna is residing in the heart. He said, but Krishna is never alone. Krishna, when he's residing in the heart, he's residing there with all his associates, including the spiritual master. So actually, the spiritual master is seated there within the heart next to Krishna. In this way, we're definitely never alone. Just when you might think, oh, I'm all alone here in the material world, like Prahlad, in a pit with snakes, all alone now with these snakes. Who can help me? Help. Is there anybody here? Nobody. I'm all alone with the... All alone, alone on the planet. I experienced it that my parents, they left their bodies when I was in my early 20s. And it was a shock. Because, you know, up to that point, you know, your parents are always there and you can always pick up the phone and say, I am now in such and such place, and I have no money, and what do I do now? Help, right? And then they grumble a little bit, and then they give you the money. And, you know, and just that knowledge, right? That, you know, you have that security. If you really need it, you can. That suddenly they were gone. Bang. And I felt all alone on the planet. I said, my God, you know. So I had a sister and so on, but I thought, my sister's not going to help me. So when I call for money, she's going to say, sorry, I haven't got any money myself. Yeah, so then we will be, but not Prahlad, because he thoroughly saw Krishna everywhere. Vedanta Desika, who is a great leader, theologian in the Ramanuja Sampradaya, a successor of Ramanuja, and a very prolific author. So Vedanta Desika was saying that Prahlad was asked, Prahlad, why were you not afraid of the snakes? And Prahlad said, look, you know, he says, like, isn't Lord Vishnu my father? I said, isn't he my father? I said, yes, of course. Doesn't scripture say so? Yes. Then, isn't my father lying on a bed of snakes? So when a child is playing on the bed of his father, is he afraid? So why should I be afraid? Why should I be afraid? Prahlad said, no need to be afraid. I'm playing on my father's bed. What can happen to me? So in this way, Prahlad was truly... truly fearless. Prahlad's name is indicating that there was more than being fearless. Because the name Prahlad, Prakrista Rupena, Prahlad means Prakrista Rupena, or that which manifests in its full-fledged form. And Alad means great happiness. So Prahlad was greatly happy. It is that is the key. Like Srila Prabhupada said, preaching Krishna consciousness is very easy. You just show people how happy you are. Very easy. And that's it. And Prabhupada had so many wonderful qualities. One quality was that Prabhupada was always very relaxed. There's this big TV program, and the interviewer is asking Prabhupada different questions, and Prabhupada's just not thinking. I'm on television, you know, everyone's watching me now. Like, so it's like millions of people here, you know. I mean, hope I'm not going to say something wrong. Yes, totally relaxed. Always with Krishna. Always seeing that. Not impressed by anything of the world. Prabhupada was received in France, right, in Paris, and by etiquette, right, a formal reception. And, you know, it was all protocol. Right? Everything was supposed to go by a certain protocol, a formal reception, a formal exchange, and Prabhupada was supposed to stand and so on, and he didn't. He just sat down. And like, even when the dignitaries came, Prabhupada remained sitting, keeping the superior position. Oh, yes, he did that. He did that also in Japan. In Japan, there was a wealthy man who wanted to help the devotees and who was ready to donate a house. So there was a big discussion about it. And Prabhupada was coming, so there was a program being arranged. And Prabhupada was supposed to speak in the program, and also there was another Swami from India who was also asked to speak. So then the arrangements were made on the stage, and it was in a hall, and in the hall there was a big Vyasa-san with a picture of the man's guru on it, and then a small Vyasa-san for the speaker. So then the devotee said, oh no, Prabhupada has to sit on the big one. He's a Jagat Guru, he's a big guru, he cannot sit on that small Vyasa, no. So then the owner and donor agreed, okay. He can sit on the big one, then all the speakers can just sit on that, like that. So the Bodhi said, okay. So then Prabhupada sat on the Vyasa-san and spoke. And then after he was finished, Prabhupada was meant to come down, and he didn't. And the host, he came and he gestured, so please come down. And Prabhupada smiled. He smiled nicely and didn't come down. Yeah? So finally they put the Mayavadi sannyasi on the little Vyasa-san next to Prabhupada. Prabhupada said like that. And then the man started speaking. And for 5-7 minutes he was speaking in Hindi, so the devotees didn't understand. And Prabhupada let it go on. And then Prabhupada said, Kirtan, Kirtan. And the devotees started, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, which was the tune they played in those days. And drowned out the speaker. So yeah, the donor became extremely upset. What your guru did, it's like, what your guru did, that's like, oh, we can never forget this. But Prabhupada didn't care. He said, for the first 7 minutes, it was okay. What he said, it wasn't a problem. But then, when he said that we are all God, that was intolerable, intolerable. So he didn't care. He didn't care to see any VIP as more important than Krishna. Krishna is the most important. When Krishna's interest is harmed, then we will not tolerate. Whether we lose a house or not, who cares about a house? Krishna can give us millions of houses. We're not matkavayu danadur madandan. We're not gonna flatter a wealthy man and compromise ourselves. So that spirit, the sadhu who is thoroughly honest. Sometimes the word sadhu is translated as one who is thoroughly honest, who just sees that, who is fixed on that one point. He is guru. He is heavy. Heavy because he cannot be moved by anything from Krishna's lotus feet. Always fixed on Krishna's feet. So that spirit we see in Prahlad, that spirit we see in Prabhupada, and in that state of consciousness, there is Prahlad or Nityananda. In that state of always serving, that is eternal happiness, then one's always happy. And that's the simple key to Krishna consciousness, is to be happy. Then, and only then, when we are experiencing great happiness in Krishna consciousness, only then can we be fully absorbed. Otherwise, we will fight. Balavan indriyan gramo vidvamsam apikarsati. It is said even a vidvamsam, even a man of knowledge, is still struggling because the senses are so strong. Yeah? They're so strong. So even a man of knowledge will still struggle. But one who is happy by always serving Krishna and always seeing everything connected with Krishna, such a person, right? The senses have now become fully under control. And Prahlad said, Naitan vihaya vimumukso eko, I have no fear for this material energy. I am not interested in my own liberation. I am only interested that all these fools may be delivered from material existence. So in this way, we see that Prahlad felt compassion, Because he had a better quality of life. Compassion is not a sentiment which one can sort of muster up, you know. Feeling something for the suffering of others. Poor, the people are going through so many difficulties. Compassion. That's not compassion. Compassion is when we are experiencing something better. Then we can see, oh, look at how miserable everybody is. But I must admit that on book distribution, I've had my moments of compassion, that I stood in the summer and I saw all these people sitting on the terraces and having drinks, and I felt compassion for myself standing there with these books in the looking at them. I felt yes. So illusion, illusion was is strong. It covers us so easily. But by simple service, just by simple service, simply cleaning a floor for Krishna, simply carrying something for Krishna, simply cooking something for Krishna, simply bowing down, simply chanting Krishna's name. Very simple. By doing all these simple things, the result is amazing. It's just amazing. Every day, read one verse. One verse of Bhagavatam every day. Just one. Can we read every day one verse and one purport? Is it possible, technically, even for someone who's very busy? Yeah. So, then why are we not doing it? Manda sumanda matiyo. It means because we're lazy. Age of Kali, lazy. So, simple things. And many simple things make a spiritual life. I'll end with that. But if we want spiritual life to happen, we cannot just wait until it starts happening. Is it really happening? No. We have to construct a spiritual life by putting many elements in place. Put good rounds in place. Put absorption in the Bhagavatam. To become absorbed in the Bhagavatam. Sanatana Goswami says in the Stavamala, he is explaining that Bhagavatam is my constant companion. So I thought about that. I think, what did it mean? Did it mean that Sanatana Goswami was always walking around with the Bhagavatam sort of in front of his head? Sanatana Goswami, yes. Can I ask you a question? Yes. Sanatana Goswami, yes. Are you there? Always reading like that? Constant companion? No, obviously not. Constant companion means that he began to see through the Bhagavatam, that he was remembering the Bhagavatam. He's reading, yes, constant reading as much as possible, and then remembering. So both reading and when not reading, seeing everything through the Bhagavatam. Book Bhagavat, person Bhagavat. So how nice. How nice. So one has to construct a spiritual life by bringing in spiritual elements more and more, putting things in place and keeping them. And then put some more in place, keep that also. And some more. And gradually build up. And there's no end to this. There's no limit. There's no limit. One cannot say, now I've built a nice spiritual life. No, there's still more. Still more that we should add. And then, but keep what is good and add more. And that is called spiritual growth. And that goes on eternally. Like, yeah. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi Lila, it is explained how Radharani says that Krishna has unlimited qualities and she has unlimited love. And when she discovers a new quality of Krishna, immediately she loves that also. And in this way, her love for Krishna is eternally increasing. We are going through the same. We are having the same experience. Little by little, we start to love another aspect of Krishna, actually. Little by little, we discover Krishna. Little by little. That's how our Krishna consciousness grows eternally. So, any questions? Nitai Gorasmita.
As devotees, we often compromise.
Prabhupada wasn't compromising at all. As devotees, we often compromise.
As a movement, we see many, you quoted some example of meeting with Mayavadis. So now we have in ISKCON, interfaith and so many things.
So, as a movement, also, we are. For example, I refer to Mayavadis, and now we have all these programs, interfaith.
So there was an instance in Paris a long time ago when devotees met with the Ramakrishna Mission.
There was an instance in Paris long ago when devotees met with the Ramakrishna Mission. One elder devotee who's gone now.
But at that time he spoke very, very strongly about Vivekananda, saying that he was a big in front of Ramakrishna followers.
So there was one devotee who's gone now, elderly, who spoke very strongly in front of, against Vivekananda, in front of all the Ramakrishna devotees. Years back, it would have been very difficult to have interfaith with this mission. How far can we go in this matter? Gee whiz. I knew there would be some sort of question like that. I felt it coming. Collectively, Prabhupada has empowered the GBC to make policies for the movement. Yeah. Individually, we have our own responsibility. I don't like to go very far at all, individually, in these matters. Yeah. I have been taken to some of these programs, to a Mayavadi ashram, and it was all arranged, and then suddenly they say, yes, and now we're going to take lunch. And I go, like, no, I'm supposed to take lunch. I'm not going to take any of their prasad. So somehow or other, I was like... taking some things off the plate and sort of cutting them in pieces and messing up the plate and it's like trying to make it look like it eaten something and eat a bite. Ultimately, there is that famous example Prabhupada gave that everyone flies his own plane. Yeah. Ultimately, everyone is individually responsible, right, to remain faithful to Krishna and to the parampara. And it's like we'd be individually held responsible. So I don't like to take a risk like that. I personally feel that interfaith with with Mayavadis is not something I like to partake in. Srila Prabhupada did go to some programs, but generally speaking, yeah, there was something like this Japanese one. He was in Chennai, and there was also one of these big panel programs with many speakers, and then the organizers, they headed that. They were supposed to offer flowers to a picture of Durga. And Prabhupada had his flowers in his hand and walked past the picture of Durga with folded hands, but never offered the flowers. And then he walked off the stage and threw the flowers in the corner of the tent. So all the devotees, they saw it, so they also with their flowers walked over the stage, didn't throw the flowers, and went to the corner of the tent. And when they came to the corner of the tent, they saw that on the wall there was a picture of Krishna. And they all threw their flowers there. So Prabhupada was, always choosing for Krishna. And personally, that quality is very endearing. The fact that he doesn't compromise is what endears him to me. That's why I have strong faith. Right? That's why it's not broken. And that's why I'm still here. Otherwise, I don't know if I would be still here. Yeah. So I think we must be careful with this, especially Mayavad. That goes too far. That goes too far. But there is place for interfaith. Absolutely, it's not that we are speaking out against all interfaith activities. I think. Prabhupada also met with many leaders of many religious leaders, and I think that can be valuable work. So balance must be there. And Prabhupada did partake in programs where also Mayavadis partook. So if there's the Congress of World Religions and there are some Mayavadis also speaking, it's not that then we walk away and say, we will not partake in any function where there's any Maya. No. So, it requires a refined judgment. And there are many factors. It's not just, okay, it's off, it's finished. See, people, they like to make things simple. So, they want to know, is it bona fide or is it off? What is it? Is it bona fide or is it off? Tell me. Is it bona fide or is it off? And it's either bona fide or off, and there's nothing else. But it is not at all like that. Right? In some ways, and there's a lot of finesse, a lot of variety of factors that are to be considered, like I explained. So we are careful. We're very careful. But in some public functions, and maybe Mayavadis also. You can see Prabhupada went for the session in Japan, but when the man spoke out strongly, then Prabhupada objected. Yes. I remember.
And they decided to cancel everything.
Yeah.
But another brahmachari went to talk to the person responsible for organizing the program and convinced him that Siddha Swarupa would not say anything else.
Mm.
And that night, a very large crowd, much more than the prior night, came. And they were expecting an apology. And Sridhar Swami was the speaker. And Sridhar Swami would not offer an apology. And finally he said, of the great Acharyas. If you have an issue with their view,
should go and discuss with them. But compared to the great acharyas, like Srila Bhaktisiddhanta, and he mentioned other acharyas as well, Ramakrishna is only a small person. Mm. He actually liked it, and Srila Bhaktisiddhanta also liked his approach.
I still remember, though, you know, that Srila Bhaktisiddhanta also commented that we should not unnecessarily agitate in that same connection, the same story, because I remember reading it also. And I particularly remember that detail that Bhaktisiddhanta afterwards said that he was happy that it all worked out somehow or other, right? But he also felt we should not unnecessarily go around and call out names or speak so confrontational. So it is subtle. That is the problem. Yeah? That's the point we also made. It's not just black and white. There is we are not supporting Mayavad, but sometimes we are in social settings with the Dalai Lama and we don't have to immediately pounce on the Dalai Lama and go... That depends, you know. I mean, if one religion is killing goats, right, and the other religion is constantly criticizing that, then the religion that criticizes is correct, yeah? Because in the name of religion, one cannot maintain a slaughterhouse for killing goats. So, again, it depends on the situation. The situations have many complexities to it. Prabhupada did say that in general our policy is not to be against. Our policy is to be for Krishna, not against this, against that. So our main message is for Krishna. But sometimes when we get confronted with people who in the name of religion are offering wine and meat and so many other things, then sometimes it has to be said that this is actually the mode of ignorance and not at all acceptable. So many things are going on in the name of religion that are not beneficial at all.
So would you say that Islam is a good religion and they bomb the UPC because they are opposed towards Christianity?
Well, you know, it's like, again, Islam is obviously divinely inspired for people in a particular time, place, and circumstance. So we're not just writing off Islam. It's again, is it off or is it bona fide? Is it off or is it bona fide? No, it's not so simple. Within Islam, there are great saintly personalities. There was one peer, one of these great realized saints, who came in the morning out of the house with a bucket, with two buckets. In one of the buckets there was fire, in the other bucket there was water. And people said, hey, what are you doing with these buckets? You're walking with a bucket of fire, bucket of water, what are you going to do with them? He said, with this bucket of fire, I'm going to burn heaven. So, you're going to burn heaven? So, yes. And with this bucket of water, I'm going to put out the fire of hell. He said, because, he said, like, most people, they are just practicing their worship because they want to go to heaven. Or others are just worshiping because they want to avoid hell. Right? But actually, the worship of the Lord should be done out of love. So, that's it. Islam or whatever designation, anyone who understands that the purpose of all religion is to serve the Lord out of love, perfect. We don't. If those who want to serve the Lord out of love, we don't criticize. But those who want to go to heaven or who want to avoid hell, we criticize.
How do we know that Mayavadi are not
They don't serve God because the Mayavadis are saying that Krishna is Maya, that Krishna is illusion. They say the personal form of Krishna is illusion. And that is why we criticize them, because they are criticizing Krishna. And anyone who criticizes Krishna, we become like fire. We'll become like fire. Anytime ready. Just wake us up anytime. Okay. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.